have hope in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll be with Al as he brings the message this morning. I pray that you'll be with Rocky and John as they're away and they're traveling and they're ministering around the world. May everything that we do today bring honor and glory to you and your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
We are so happy and blessed to be here. And I don't know if I can get away with saying this, so I'm going to take a risk and do it anyway. The choir got down, didn't they? Can I say get down in here? They got down. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And we just want to thank God for this musical staff. I just am so envious of people who can play instruments and people like Randall who can sing, you know. You don't want me to start singing because I will run everybody up out of here. I promise you. Amen. And I didn't know we were going to be blessed with the Mimosa Lane version of Jimi Hendrix here this morning. Amen. Yeah. But I am just amazed by people who have musical talent. We're just blessed to have everybody. You know, everybody in the band and those young people up there singing their hearts out. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Yes. Days of hope. Amen. Hope overflows. Amen. We are hoping and praying, and we've gotten a good report so far about Rocky and everybody who's over there in India about what they're doing and how God is blessing them. And I'm sure they are going to be dog tired when they get back. I'm sure they're already dog tired now, right? And when you think about hope, you have to understand that implicit in the term of hope is a problem, a set of circumstances, some organized trouble, if you will. If there is a need for hope, then obviously there is some sort of trouble on the horizon or some sort of immediate danger, if you will. And today I feel led to talk about hope. Because that's what the Christian faith is all about. And Rocky and I sat down and had lunch a while back, and he talked about how the Lord had put it in his heart to talk about why we exist here at Mimosa Lane, and to talk about what we're all about here at Mimosa Lane. And I want to share a passage of scripture with you. I want to read some Bible passages here. I want to start off in Jeremiah, if that's okay with you. Let's go to Jeremiah 36, please. I got five passages that I want to share with you this morning. I hope that's not too much scripture. But we just want to have a good time in God's word without abusing my time, Jacob. Amen? We don't want to be like all them other Baptist preachers, get long-winded. I don't know why that is. We Baptists, we like to get long-winded, don't we? Amen. When you get to Jeremiah 36, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I don't know where John went to, but John, I just want you to know I just appreciate your dance, my brother. I just appreciate you getting over there, breaking it down for everybody. That's right. Do that for the preaching staff. Amen. All right. Verse 1. Is everybody there? Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I got the NIV here. It says, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Verse 2. Take a scroll, write on it all the words that I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Verse 3. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way, then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. There we go right there. That's the need for hope. See, the first reason why we exist here at Mimosa Lane and right here in Mesquite is because there is a promise, a problem. There is a coming disaster, not only upon the United States and upon Judah and Israel, but upon the whole world. You know what that disaster is? You know what that problem is looming on the horizon? That's the problem of God's anger. And God's wrath. You see, when people do wrong in this world, God doesn't just sit back on the throne and go, well, c'est la vie. No, no. He gets angry about it. And he wants to do something about it. All these broken homes, all these sissified men, can I say sissified? Who smack their women around, who beat up on their wives, all these horrible people who molest children, right? People who do dumb and evil stuff. Now listen, let's be clear. I may not smack my wife around. I certainly don't molest children, but I got my own sin that I've got to deal with. And you've got your own sin that you've got to deal with. And let me let you in on a secret. God is angry about your sin, and he's angry about my sin. He's angry about the sin of the entire world. Consequently, there is going to become, there's a disaster looming on the horizon. There's a problem on the scene. There's danger in the water, if you will, and it is God's wrath. Now, I know what you're thinking, Al, I didn't come here on Sunday morning to hear a doomsday prophet preach. I know that. I'm aware of that. And I did my doctoral degree, and I was taught that you only ought to preach positive messages. And you ought to make people feel good and all that kind of good stuff. But before we can talk about hope, we got to talk about the problem. And the problem is God's judgment. Can I say this very, very plainly? Do you realize that if you die without knowing Jesus Christ, the free pardon of your sins, and in the power of his resurrection, and I know that's real religious language, listen, you're going to burn and go to hell. Do you realize that everybody in Mesquite, everybody in Forney, everybody in Dallas, Grand Prairie, all over the world, I don't care what country, what nation, what ethnicity, if they die without knowing Jesus Christ and the free pardon of their sins, they are going to burn in hell for all of eternity. That's what this thing's about. That's why we exist. We don't exist for ourselves. Oh, no. We exist to please the Creator. Why? Because there's a disaster on the scene. There's a problem looming on the horizon. There is danger in the water. If we can take that metaphor of danger in the water and press it just a little while further, you know, there are people out there on their boats that are sailing around. There's people out there in that water swimming around in that water, and they have no idea that there's a problem. They have no idea. And you know what our responsibility is? You know what our calling is? You know what our reason for life is? It's to go out and warn them about that danger on the horizon. But here's the good news. The good news is there's hope. Praise the Lord. The good news is there's hope. Praise the Lord. For every broken home, for every divorce, for every lonely child, for every hurt and heartache in the world, there is hope. Praise the Lord. And that hope has a name. His name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, great Jehovah. That's right. The preachers of old used to say the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, right? Doctor in the sick room. Have you ever heard that one? Lawyer in the courtroom. The one who's never lost a case. We got good news. We've got hope. That's right. There are people wandering around in this world. They don't have a purpose. They don't have a reason for living. So they're going out trying every drug on the market. They're going out partying in every club that they can find. They're laying down with every person who's willing to lay down with them. And after that, they're looking for the next lay down. You know why? Because they do not have hope. But I got good news for you today, church. We as the Mimosa Lane Baptist Church, because we are born again, baptized believers in Jesus Christ. Guess what? We have hope. And that hope overflows. Yeah, that's the good news. The reason why you see John up there playing that acoustic guitar, you know, and having a good time is because he's got hope in his heart. You see, the reason why that lady is on the piano tickling the ivories is because she's got hope in her heart. The reason why those young people were singing those songs with everything they had in them is because they had hope in their heart. And that hope is produced by Jesus the Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm mighty glad about it. Yeah. Why in the world would I get up on Sunday morning and put on my clothes, Phil, drive all the way out here from Grand Prairie to Mesquite? Let me tell you why. Because this is a place of hope. I'm surrounded by people of hope. Randall's going to get up there on the microphone and he's going to lead songs of hope. That's why we're here. We're not here because it's fashionable. We're not here because it's in and because it's cool. That's right. You can be as fashionable as you want to be. You can be as cool as you can possibly be. Remember the show Happy Days from back in the day? I know y'all don't know about that, young people. Well, some of y'all know about that. They're going, yeah, we know about that, Al. What you talking about, right? Remember the Fonz? He had 100 girlfriends. He'd snap his fingers. Then he'd be walking around in that leather jacket. Right? Then once in a while, he'd come around, he'd say, hey. Yeah. You can be as cool as the Fonzarelli. I hope I got his name right. Right? But if you don't have hope in Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. That's why Rocky has gone all the way to India. Can I tell you why? Because the people in India need hope. And he's got it. God put it down in his soul. He's got hope. I'm going to take this hope. He's taking it to India. That's right. So the Lord sent me here to remind us this morning of why we have hope. Now, that was the first scripture. Remember, I told you I have five scriptures for you, right? Let me give you four more, if I may do that. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Let's talk about the message of hope, right? We talked about the motivation for hope. Let's talk about the message for hope. See, there's a storm on the sea, and there's only a handful of people who see it coming. Those of us who are believers in Christ Jesus, we see the storm on the sea. The only way you're going to avoid that storm is to take refuge in Jesus Christ. Amen? Romans chapter 10, when you get there, say praise the Lord. Down there in verse 9, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it right there. That's the message of hope. You can be saved from this foolishness in this world if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. No, that doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way. But what it does mean is that when the wrath of God comes, it will pass over you. It means when you die and you stand before a holy God on that great getting up morning, it means that you won't go to hell. You won't experience his fury. I don't know about you, church, but that's good news to me. Listen, I'm a ghetto kid. I'm a hood rat. You ever heard that term, hood rat? Right? She's laughing like, I know what a hood rat is, Al. Yeah, right? I got saved in this little bitty church called East Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church on East 123rd and Miles Avenue, right? And on Miles Avenue, we had the Miles Raiders. That was one gang, right? A little further east, we had the Harvard Homeboys, right? And on the north side of Cleveland, we had the St. Clair Gangsters, East Side Crushers, right? And the other gang, there was one gang I really didn't particularly like. I didn't like any of them, but this one gang I really didn't appreciate. The Brick City Outlaws and the Dynamite Devils. You follow me? I got saved in a context like that when I was 15 years old. I never will forget. There was this deacon in our church. His name was Cyril Burns. He would say, listen, young man, if you put your trust in the Lord, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls that I went through in my life. Phil, that was when I was 15 years old. Can I share something with you? I'm 41 years old. I ain't got one gang tattoo on my body. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Let's be clear. Everything did not go my way. I still did some dumb stuff, some stupid decisions I've made. Let's be clear. But don't you know that day that deacon put hope in my heart? You don't have to stand around on the street corner and sell drugs till 5 o'clock in the morning where you go and all that kind of stuff. No, you don't have to do that. Oh, let's be clear. I can rap now. I may be fat, but I can still do it. Don't get to challenging me. No, I'm joking. Right. That's right. You can avoid that. And even if you're 41 years old, guess what? And you've made some mistakes and you've done some things you had no business doing, you can still have hope today through Jesus Christ. How do I do that? By putting your trust in the one who died on the cross for your sins, was buried and raised up from the dead with all power in his hand. That is a phenomenal thing. I know I look like an old-fashioned preacher, but hey, you found me out. That's a wonderful thing. We got hope. As long as God is still on the throne, we've got hope. Yes. Now, this is not a slam on our government, but I don't think President Barack Obama or anybody in our government knows how to fix the economy. I don't believe anybody, Democrat or Republican, charterite, independent, I don't care what you call the person. I don't believe anybody knows how to fix the economy in our country. That's my personal conviction. But I tell you what, I got hope. Not because the Democrats control Congress and we got a Democratic president and all that kind of stuff. Republican or Democrat, I'm not getting into that. My hope is in Jesus Christ. That's right. Things are tough on my job, too. I had a challenge making the payroll this week. I don't mind telling you. But I got hope in Jesus Christ. My hope is not in the bank account, it's in the Lord. And he does things the way he sees fit. It may make me uncomfortable from time to time. Right? Sometimes I may downright get angry with the Lord. But I got to contain my anger because I don't want him to crush me like a grape. That's right. These people kill me walking around. I'm mad at God. If you had enough sense, you'd be quiet. That's right. I told you I was a hood rat. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. And my dad worked in the steel mills up there. In that part of the country, that's what people did. They were hardworking people. You follow me? When he went to work, he was a supervisor on his job. When he came back, he was dirty and the car was dirty. He didn't drive the good car to work. He drove the raggedy car to work. Or that old raggedy truck. Because just by taking your car down into that steel mill, you know, you could mess up your car like that. You follow me? And when my dad told me something that I didn't like, or he did something that made me angry, I was smart enough to keep my mouth shut. Amen. He didn't mind telling you how he felt. And his attitude was, son, I don't care nothing about you liking me. You're going to grow up and you're going to be right. Amen. I kept my mouth shut because, oh, I'm sorry, I better not say that again, right? Yeah. Let me figure this out real quick. That's right. Sometimes the Lord does things that we don't understand or that make us angry. But if we were wise, we'd be quiet about it. Because he might decide to just do something that you don't really like. But that's enough of that. The message of hope is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The means of hope. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The means of hope. Why on earth are we here? Why do we gather ourselves together? Why do people go to the trouble of going all the way to India? Why do they work so hard on this music? Why does Karen and work so hard in the children's ministry? What are we doing here? What is this about? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Watch this. Verses 1 through 3. Let me read to you for a while. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. In case you hadn't figured it out, I like that phrase, praise the Lord. That's right. Everything ought to be praise the Lord. Can I share something with you? I'm going to let you in on a secret. You probably hadn't figured this out. Do you realize that you actually woke up this morning? Praise the Lord. Yeah. You actually woke up this morning. Can you believe that? Yeah. That means the Lord woke me up this morning and gave me another opportunity to please Him. Another opportunity to give this world hope. To give my lovely wife and my children hope. I can speak for Randall. Randall and I, we wonder from time to time, how on earth do our wives put up with us? Amen. How on earth did I get blessed with a wife like I have? Amen. I am the luckiest man in the world. Yeah. I woke up this morning. There's hope. It's not over. Right? I'm not burning in the fiery flames of hell. No. I got another opportunity to sing glory, hallelujah, right? I've got another opportunity to sing open the eyes of my heart. Lord, I don't know about you, but I just love that song. Anybody here with me? I could sing that song every day and not get tired. That's right. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I get so consumed with the things of this world and the stuff that I want to do. Amen? I want to see the Rangers win the World Series. Now, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit. Well, you're probably right. But it's the truth. That's what I want to do. That may not be what he wants me to do. But that's what I want to do. Amen? Now, to think about it, it's God's will for the Rangers. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. Let me show you this. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence of superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. That's it right there. That's the means of hope right there. The preaching of the gospel. The preaching. Do you realize that we're supposed to go and have conversations with people about the Lord? Al, how you going to make it in this economy? I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to manage the resources that He's given me. I'm going to manage the money that He's given me to the best of my ability. And I'm going to look for Him to do the rest. I'm going to take my part, my finances, and I'm going to take my faith, and I'm going to partner those two together. That's how I'm going to make it. We're supposed to have conversation about the Lord with people. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on the promise of God's word. That has to happen. You have to talk to people about these things. Amen. You got to talk. You got to open your mouth. I know what we think. Well, I just do lifestyle evangelism. Let me let you in on the secret. 9 times out of 10, when a person says they do lifestyle evangelism, that's usually a cop-out. That's what it usually is. Because they're scared to talk to somebody about Jesus. Amen. God has called you to open your mouth. And buddy, when that first pitch is thrown on the baseball diamond, I'm going to be yelling and screaming and carrying on right there in my living room. And I'm sure some of you will be too. Right? Well, if I can open my mouth and talk about the Rangers... And forget about the Rangers. What about the Cowboys? See? I got you going. See that? Oh, Al, why you have to bring that up? Oh, man, Al. These cats, they don't know what they're doing. They got that new stadium and they this and that and everything. Well, you can talk about the Cowboys. Why can't you talk about the Lord? Amen. That's right. Paul says, I came to you to talk about Jesus and Him crucified. That's right. He opened his mouth. Amen. God has called us to open our mouths. Not in the spirit of, I got everything together. Oh, no. In the spirit of, I'm just one poor soul trying to tell another soul where we can both find bread. That's the attitude. Amen. God is awesome. And he's given us this blessed opportunity. And for the life of me, I still can't figure out why he allowed me to be a carrier of the gospel, knowing all my issues, right? And if you'll be honest, you'll be, how in the world, Lord, did you mean you want me to, well, if this is what you want to do, okay. That's right, that's the means of hope. Let me show you something else here. Go to 1 Peter. Can I show you my favorite scripture in all the Bible? I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but this is the one that I love. I'm absolutely crazy about. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. This is my favorite. I love the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a wonderful passage. But this is my favorite scripture right here. This is the one that speaks to my soul right here. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. See, there we go again. Doesn't that sound good? Praise the Lord. Yes, it does, right? Verse 15, watch this. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Set Jesus apart in your heart as Lord. Give him a special place in your heart. Why on earth are we here at Mimosa Lane? We're here because we've all set Jesus apart in our hearts. He's got a special place in our hearts. Now, granted, we don't act like it all the time now, do we? Amen. We were talking about football earlier, right? Love the Cowboys. Still think that Tom Landry was one of the greatest coaches that the NFL has ever seen. When I say I love the Cowboys, I'm talking about back in the day. Roger Staubach. I mean, really. Tony Dorsett. Anybody remember those days? Right? Love the Cowboys. But you know what my favorite football team is? The Cleveland Browns. I know what y'all are thinking. Al, what's wrong with you, Rod? Well, what can I say? I was raised and born and bred in the dog pound. That's right. Let me tell you something. I love the Lord and I love this passage of scripture. I don't always do like it says, right? Now, anybody who knows anything about Cleveland knows that the Browns are a losing team. That's a fact. Just check the history books. That's a fact, right? Right? But yet, it never fails. I don't mind telling you. When I'm watching the Browns game and they start losing, I get highly upset. And for some reason, I just lose all sense of spirituality. Y'all do the same thing with the Cowboys, too. You ain't fooling me. I know that, right? But it says, watch this, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a reason, a defense of the hope that's in you. Why do you have hope? Because Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and was raised up from the dead. And let me share something with you. If Jesus can conquer death, then he can conquer anything. That's why I've got hope. But he also says to do it with gentleness and respect. That's the hard part, isn't it? That's the difficult part. Because people will demean you and degrade you because of your faith. Right? See, what I've learned is they don't play fair out there in the world. But God expects you and I to play fair. So you want me to play by the rules even though they don't want to play by the rules? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Okay. Right. Well, why should I suffer? Ah, good question. Why in the world should you suffer that humiliation and that degradation from the world when they don't even play fair? Let me tell you why. Because he suffered. That's why. These are the days of hope. Do you realize that every day we wake up is another day that God has given us grace and mercy and held back his wrath from the rest of the world? They don't even know it. But you and I do. Let me give you this last passage of scripture. Let's talk about the mission of hope. The mission of hope. You know this passage. Matthew 28. I hope I haven't abused my time here. Thank you, brother. Give me an extra 10 minutes. Oh, and for the record, I like it when y'all talk back to me. No, I'm serious, right? You know, because I come from a tradition where you have to get that rhythm. You know what I mean? You throw it out there, and then they throw it back. Right? So when y'all talk back to me, that blesses me. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28, verse 18. Are we there? Amen. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Amen. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And the phrase I want to focus on, excuse me, is the phrase, "I am with you always." See, we have a mission here at Mimosa Lane. The same mission that the body of Christ has all over the world. And that is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. He is with us. How on earth can he be with Rocky in India and be with us in Mesquite? Let me tell you how he can do that. Because he's got it like that. Amen. He's got all authority in heaven and in earth. He's got all power. He can do it. He's just that kind of God. Amen. He doesn't need cars and planes and boats and all that kind of stuff. He is with us in the same way that he's with believers on the other side of the world. We got hope. Some of us have problems in our families. Guess what? You still got hope. Some of us have problems in our finances. Guess what? You still have hope. Some of us have problems in our careers, but guess what? Because you have Christ, you have hope. That's right. I don't care what the world says. I've got hope. And you know, we look like the craziest people in the world. You know that? As believers in Christ Jesus. We look like the craziest people in the world. That's okay. I don't mind looking like that because I've got hope. Those people who think I'm crazy for trusting in Christ and his word, they can't give me the hope that he can give me. Oh no. That's why I'll always trust him. Amen. Well, my time with you guys is over. We always have a blessed time when we're together. But right now, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ today if you haven't received Christ. Amen. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God through Christ, it's real simple. Trust and believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and was raised up from the dead. That's all you have to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that we've had together. Thank you, Lord God, for these beautiful people, Lord, who've assembled themselves in this place that we call Mimosa Lane, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for Rocky and John and everybody else who's gone all the way over to India. We pray, oh God, that your blessings would be upon them as well as their families here in the States, Lord. We just ask, oh God, that you would heal the hurts of those who are present today. We pray, oh God, that you would hear the cries of those who are calling upon you today. In the blessed name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for hope. Thank you, Lord, for the reality of who you are. In his precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen.